Well, hello again. It's good to see you again this week. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. We've entered in a new season now. He had me teaching from the article section of the website for, months. But now, at the turn of the year, he's changed direction some. And he may let me go back and teach the rest of those articles someday. I don't know. You know, basically, I just work here. My job is to be a first-class servant myself, and whatever the master says to be doing, that's what I intend to be doing. And right now, he is shifting for this year, 2024. And you may be watching this 10 years from now. But listen, truth is truth, and the truth is not going to change. Sometimes our instructions change along the way, what he wants us doing, but the truth never changes. But he's causing us now to turn. Listen, 2024 is going to be a historical, pivotal year, not just for the United States, but worldwide. And if you haven't noticed, we're either in or coming into the last of the last days. And so there's going to be a great revival. The Lord has told us it's going to be even greater than the book of Acts. He said the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain, and the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the first house. And wow. He said we're going to see things that has never been seen on planet Earth before. Wow. What a time to be alive, you know. But as I was sensing this change, I want to share something with you that was just, it teaches by way of example everything that we're doing. We talk about waiting on the Lord all the time and listening for his voice. And well, I was sensing this change right at the first of the year that, you know, stop. I felt like it was like, okay, we're not going to teach the third section of the articles right now. I want you to become more laser focused again, specifically on revival. But I didn't have it that clear. It was like why does the Bible say it? Through a glass darkly. I was kind of seeing it, but I wasn't sure. So I was meditating and listening and getting quiet myself, you know. And the Lord is so precious. The Holy Spirit just said to me, and this may not be word for word right now, but this is what he said. He said, I spoke, now this, it was on a Thursday morning, I remember that. And he said to me, he said, I spoke a word through Bronk last night that you need to hear. Well, that would have been the Wednesday night service of that week. And normally on Wednesday nights, if things are normal, that's Sue and I attend church either at Bronx or Jim Martin's Wednesday night service. But that particular Wednesday night, there were circumstances that I wasn't able to go. So I normally listen to him the next day anyway. But anyway, when he said that, he said, I spoke a word through, because I'm pondering, what do I do? Exactly which direction? You ever been there? So I'm just listening and getting quiet and praying and doing all the things that we know to do. Thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us how to do these things. And so he said that to me. I spoke a word through Pastor Bronk last night that you need to hear. Well, so thank God for YouTube, you know. So I go in there and I put it on the YouTube and I start watching the service. And normally, or very commonly, not always, but very commonly, if Pastor Bronk has a prophecy, it will come very often right at the end of the worship portion and before you get to the greetings portion where everybody, you know, kind of greets everybody. So I was expecting the prophecy to come then, but it didn't. So, you know, okay, now they're greeting everybody and you know, the devil is relentless, and so he's telling me, you didn't hear God at all. That wasn't the Holy Ghost talking to you. There's no prophecy. Listen, the devil's always saying that you didn't hear God. That's just you. Anyway, so I have to admit, you know, I was a little bit discouraged and thinking, well, maybe, you know, what do you do? Well, you keep on anyway. So I kept watching the service, and sure enough, it wasn't very long. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, it was exactly what I needed to hear. It lined up perfectly with what I was sensing. Is that a good word? Feeling that nudge, that direction. It was a confirmation. It was exactly what I needed to hear. In fact, I printed it out because it is so exactly the mind of the Lord for where we are this year and what he wants us. And I'm speaking to revivalists now, no matter what your calling is in the body of Christ. Yes, sir. Now, in this service, I don't even have a single scripture prepared. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to use scriptures, but he's wanting us to laser focus. And it doesn't matter what your calling is in the body. Laser focus on our part, individually and collectively, for this revival. Become laser focused. 2024 is an important year. And we don't want to miss what the Lord is doing. We want to be right in the center of what he's doing. So this prophecy, the title of it is kind of strange. But you'll understand it when you read what the Holy Spirit said. The title is My Blind Servants, and it came on the December 27th of 2023, right near the end of the year. And how do I say this? If you want, yes, sir. Okay, I see it. This is another laser pointer that somebody, in fact, I think it was the same friend, gave it to me earlier. What does it mean to be laser focused? Again, here's a black surface. See that dot? Pretty small dot. What if you're just going to focus on that dot for a year? What? Yeah, that don't look, you know, all of a sudden you hear sounds and calamity and falling bookcases and over to the left. What's the purpose? To get you looking away from your focus. What if you hear all kinds of shouting and calamity to the right? What's the purpose of that? To get you looking away from your focus. But when he says laser focus, this is what he means. And you'll hear him talk about that in this prophecy. Okay? So I think that's a good image to start with. So here's what the Lord said through Pastor Bronk. And if you're not familiar with his ministry, it's the website is BronkFlint, BronkFlint.org. And from there, you can read they got a prophecy section, teaching sections. You can go to their YouTube channel from there. I highly recommend Bronk Flint Ministries. And okay, so the title of this prophecy that came through Bronk, the one the Holy Spirit said I needed to hear. I think you need to hear it. I think we all need to hear this one. Well, we need to hear them all. Who is as blind as my servant, says the Spirit of grace? And who is as deaf as my servant? For I've called you in a day and an hour to go forth. Now get this. And against all circumstances, and against all things that would come to contradict your assignment, I have asked you, and I'm coming to bring you forth in, and I'm coming to you to bring forth a blindness against those things and a deafness against those things, only seeing that which I have given to you from the very days of your conception, says the Spirit of grace, that you'd turn a deaf ear to all discouragement. Did you hear that? That you would turn a deaf ear to all discouragement that says, when will this happen? Well, I think if you're alive, you've heard that voice. If you've been contending for revival for long time, like we all have, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that voice. Well, when will it happen? You got to turn a deaf ear to that. Back to the prophecy. But all you know is the promise inside of you that it will. Norval Hayes used to say, faith doesn't wear a watch, my brothers and sisters. Faith doesn't ask, when is it going to happen? Faith is now, see. Okay, so again, I'll try not to comment during this prophecy. Sorry. Back to the prophecy. But all you know is the promise inside of you that it will. And I'm asking you to viciously, ferociously, and with all vigor on the inside of your spirit to pursue these things. And again, laser focused, without all contradiction, says the Spirit of the Lord. For in these days, know this, that I am raising up a standard in the earth, and all those who enter into it will be those who will take no acknowledgement of those things that come to contradict. Do not look at the crowds. Do not look at the personal contradictions concerning those things against your body or against your emotions or against your finances or any part of your life, says the Spirit of Grace. For I have given you a mandate, and I know that this of surety and of great deliberateness, you will enter into this. But I'm giving you this assignment, knowing that my servants in the earth are those who are blind against all contradictions, or deaf to hear those things in which the enemy or the flesh could pour out against you to stop you in this hour. So rejoice, says the Spirit of the Lord. Rejoice in knowing that this grace is upon you, and as you go forward, that I am with you to bring forth great encouragement, that you'll see only and hear only that which I speak and that which I put in front of you, says the Spirit of Grace. See, I know this is him. See, right now, he is showing me, reminding me of the times that I heard Lester Summerall talk about when he would go to visit Smith Wigglesworth. And this was back right before the days, right before World War II started. And Lester Summerall got to go spend time with Smith. Not many people did because they didn't like to be around Smith. Lester told us why. The only thing that happens in there is the word and prayer. You know, I mean, there's no football. There's no, in fact, Lester tells a story. He says the first time he went to meet with him, he said, well, I dressed up. And I, at that time, I dressed like a proper Englishman. I had my little bowler hat and my English type raincoat. And I even had an umbrella, you know, and I had a newspaper tucked under my arm, and I'm knocking on the door. And finally, Smith Wigglesworth opens the door, and I introduce myself. And Smith says, pointing at that paper under his arm, that newspaper, he said, well, listen, sir, you can come in, but you can't bring that in my house. He says, only truth is allowed in this house, and that thing is full of lies. So Lester had to take the newspaper, stick it in the hedge, came on in the house. And then he tells, I'm not going to try and retell that whole story, but he said Smith would, let's read the word. And so Smith would read the word for, you know, 20 minutes or something. Let us pray. And so now they'd pray for 20, 30 minutes, you know. And then let's read the word and read the word and let us pray. Then he might have a break for lunch and have a little spot of tea and a crumpet. I don't know what, you know, English, you know. Oh, let's, you know, get back in the word. So it was the word and prayer, prayer and the word. Maybe a little bit of food and prayer and the word, and then you leave. He said, well, no wonder nobody wants to come visit. But see, nobody else walked in that level of power either. He was known as the apostle of faith. You read about the things that God did through that man. They are incredible. But see, he was laser focused on the word of God, laser focused on what God had called him to do in his generation. Amen. He would pray for people, and in a mass auditorium with filled with people, they would watch cancers fall off and splat on the floor. I mean, what? Anyway, I don't want to get into all, but now the point for today's lesson is laser focused. Smith Wigglesworth was laser focused. You can't even bring that. I wonder now, what would Smith say to those of us that sit and watch the news, and then we'll watch the other channel news, and then we get online and we got to read this news and that news and catch up on all this and have our, and you want, you know, nowadays you can't even trust the news. I mean, really, you have to really, if you're going to watch the news, you better have the Holy Ghost and to give you discernment on what's true and what's not. And with this AI coming, it's going to get way worse. I mean, I've already seen examples where AI can take my, they could take one of these and make me say anything. I've already seen where they do it. And, you know, they could have me just look like I'm talking to you right now and have me spouting Marxist communism propaganda, you know, and you'd swear it was me because it looks exactly like me. The lips are in sync and everything. It's going to get really tough. So here the Holy Spirit is telling us, and especially against discouragement, I'm telling you, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Well, if you've been at this for a long, long time, and we still haven't seen revival, you know, it's like you'd be contending for anything, a healing, salvation of your children, this, you know, all kinds of things. And if you're contending for it for a long time, it's hope deferred makes the heart sick. But you think God doesn't know that? Of course he knows that. So what's he telling us to do? Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. He said, that's the reason for the title. My servants, the ones that are going to birth this revival, the one that's going to make it, the one that's going to go into this revival, are my blind servants. What do you mean blind? I only see the word of God. It's just so like Smith. Yes, the word is truth. We'll have the word. We'll have prayer. But you're not bringing that other stuff in this house, because this house is only filled with truth. This is your house. This is your house. What are you allowing in there? Whew. I'm preaching to myself as much to you. Whoa. What does laser focus mean? Laser focus. Yes, sir. But I see he recently told me, you know, talking about okay, let's say you're laser focused. All right. Let me get my little dot again, because he's going to say something else about it. Here we go. Laser focused. Okay. See how tiny that dot is? But see, that dot, the power of this laser is really small. Now, I'm not going to shine it towards there because it could damage your eyes. But I can shine that laser right on my hand and not even feel it at all. But it is an actual laser. It's a perfectly legitimate laser beam. But recently he told me personally, and I believe he's telling all of us, he said, I want you to increase the intensity of the laser. Now, my engineering brain remembers, I have seen lasers used to cut through 4 inches of steel. I mean, man, it's a see, there's a laser of that power, which it's a laser, and it sends a dot, and I can, you know, it's a genuine laser, but you're not going to use that laser to cut through 4 inches of steel. You got to increase the intensity of the laser to do that. What would he mean then? Increase the intensity of the laser. Well, that's got everything to do with inside of me. In my case, all I know is what he's telling me is you're going to have to push away. So you've got too much input. It's diluting the laser beam. It's causing distraction. It's causing you not only discouragement, which he talks specifically about in here, especially the discouragement of, well, when is it ever going to happen? Is it ever going to happen? Oh, dear God, I've had those days like you've had those days. You have to just shrug that off and go on, you know. But he's really talking about every form of distraction. My blind servants. Blind to the laser beam? No. Focused on the laser beam. Blind to what's over there? I hear all that noise, all that distraction. It's trying to draw my attention, but I am focused. I am focused on the laser beam. What about that? Oh, over here, crash, bang. Sounds like the whole house is crumbling. There must be boulders. How did Dave say it? Boulders rolling off the hill, crashing through your house on the right. Well, that's trying to distract me, isn't it? No. No, I've got to focus on the laser beam. So speaking of distractions, I know I talked about this last week, but listen, until we get this established in us, there are, the Lord, again, through Pastor Bronk, gave 8 demons that have been assigned against the church to distract us from our laser focus on revival. And I'm just going to list them again for you now. These are specific areas of demonic assault. Let me put it that way. Demonic assault sent. The whole purpose is to turn you away from your laser focus. What do you mean? Okay, I want to talk about me and not you. I don't know what he said to you. I know what he has told me when he was talking about turn up the intensity of the laser beam. He told me to double my prayer time. That changes your life, especially if your prayer time is already pretty high. Lots of hours on certain days of the week, and he tells me to double it. Well, that meant I'm going to do that prayer time twice as many days that week. That's the whole week, practically. That's going to change your life. You got to change when you can make appointments. You got to change a lot of things that you normally would do. Now, but if he says to turn up the intensity, and he says double your prayer life, well, you double your prayer life, see. I don't know what he's going to say to you. He's talking about me, to me, about when he says turn up the intensity, he's talking to me about more fasting. I don't know if he's talking to you about more fasting or not, but he is to me. Does my flesh like that? No, my flesh likes pizza and strawberry ice cream. And, you know, and it's not that we can't ever have good things like that, but he's talking about turning up the intensity. Okay, I was going to read these 8 specific devils. Now, I'm not going to do this every week, but for a while, we need to be put in remembrance of these things. So instead of just devils, think of them as demonic assault. These are demons that's been assigned to divert you away from your laser focus. First one is a spirit of infirmity. Well, weakness, sickness, pain can be in you, can be in your spouse, can be in your house. What I mean by that, your children, your grandchildren, something. You got to understand, all sickness is not just sickness. Sometimes it's a spirit of infirmity, and it's got to be dealt with that way. You know, Jesus would have to cast out these spirits. One of them was a guy was deaf, and it plainly said it was a spirit that Jesus had to cast out. Normally, you wouldn't think that, but that sometimes it's a spirit. So, spirit of infirmity, number 2, a spirit of division. Boy, watch it right now. I'm telling you. Touchy and pride, and I know more than you know, and you know, all of this kind of stuff. Spirit of division, be careful of it, okay? Spirit of lust and perversion, I talked about that specifically last week, and I'm telling you, I'm going to be 77 in just a few days. You think my body still yet can't be tempted? Oh, you think some of those commercials? I mean, you're just innocently watching something. You know, I love Pastor Dave, He was so pure in so many, you know, in every area that I know. His favorite TV show was Walker, Texas Ranger. Pretty innocent. But I'm telling you, they still have it on TV. You can watch Walker, Texas Ranger. And then a commercial? Come on. Scantily clad, bikini, whatever, you know. And you can be 77. And still, you know. Look away reluctantly. Okay, I'm saying too much. Okay, number 4. By the way, it's not just men tempted. Nowadays, even more, I think I've never seen such perversion where it's attacking the women too now. Anyway, can't get into that. Number 4, another gospel. My Lord, from every arena, the body of Christ is being assaulted, and much of the body is crumbling to it. I hate to mention names, but the Methodist Church has been split like right just terribly. about, you know, a big, big chunk of it, big thousands upon thousands are going with another gospel, like LGBTQ plus whatever now. I can't even keep up with all the pluses. But that alternate lifestyle is acceptable. Even got the Pope saying, oh yeah, we'll bless same-sex marriage type things, you know. That's another gospel. It was an abomination then. It's an abomination now. God's never going to be okay with that. He loves all each and every one of them. He wants each and every one of them to repent, believe the gospel, and be saved. Okay? But anyway, the enemy, by in every way possible, is trying to get the church to believe another gospel, the church at large and you individually to believe another gospel. No, there's only one. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, says the Lord. Whew. And you can't separate Jesus from his word now. The word, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word was made flesh and manifest among us and so forth. You cannot separate Jesus from the word of God. Okay, there is no other gospel. Paul was so concerned about the Galatians that they were so quickly receiving another gospel. And that was where they were trying to incorporate. They weren't denying that Jesus is the Lord, but they were saying, you got to incorporate the law. You got to be circumcised. Well, that's another gospel. That's not the truth. Saying, okay. Number five, he just calls it a spirit of diversions. Have you ever had those days? You know, the tire went flat on the car, the dishwasher quit working, your wife yelled at you, the cat bit you on the way out, the dog pooped on your shoes. How did Dave say it? A boulder rolled down and went right through your house, smashed your car, rolled over your hips, and the only thing working is your earlobe. And people see you just going down the street being dragged along by your earlobe and say, where are you going? Well, I'm going to prayer, you know. Oh, I love Pastor Dave. But a spirit of diversion is trying to turn us away from prayer and fasting and the word of God and worship. These are the things that the Lord has called us to focus on. Narrowly focus and do not be moved away by distractions. Okay. Got my own little key. I'm here in the calendar. I didn't bring my calendar in here. Bronk was the first one this year to hold up a calendar. And that was before he wrote in it. Now he won't open it for you because now he already told us. He has written in, like for January, he knows what days he's going to be fasting. These are my fasting days. I didn't bring in my calendar, you know, to show you. But if you don't say calendar, yeah. Listen, if you don't plan what days you're going to fast, you're probably not going to fast. And another month, another year will go by without a fasting life. But if you're going to yes, sir, we'll get to humbling yourself in a minute. Fasting is a normal part of the Christian life. Again, Jesus said, there's no reason to fast while he was here on planet Earth. But he says, in those days when the bridegroom shall be taken away. Well, that's these days. Jesus, the bridegroom, is not on planet Earth. He is in his glorified body. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he said, in those days, my disciples shall fast. I remember the day that hit me, bam, bam, you know, like, wake me up, wake you up, wake up. And here I had to repent before the Lord. I said, oh, Lord, I said, I've called myself your disciple for over 20 years. I haven't fasted enough to fill a thimbleful, Lord. And so right that day, I had to just, there it is. In those days, my disciples shall fast. Shall. There's not a stronger word than shall. And from that day, I had to start making a fasting schedule. I had to start deciding. And I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. I tell you what I do like. I've done enough of it now, though. I tell you what I do like about fasting. I like the peace and the quiet. Now, the first few days reminds me of Elijah in the cave. Remember when Elijah, he went, you know, he ran from Jezebel and he wound up in this cave. And at first it was, I probably don't have it in sequence, but there was an earthquake and the rocks broke, but the Lord was not in the rocks. And there was a fire and there was a rushing wind. In other words, see, that's the way fasting is. First 3 or 4 days, I'm going to die. Your flesh says, give me an apple or I kill you. Or actually, in my case, give me a hamburger or I kill you. It's like my flesh has become the terrorist, you know. You give me what I want, I kill you. Well, that's like the first few days. But see, then, after about the third or fourth day, and again, we've taught on this before, there's a reason for that. Your body suddenly switches from, you know, from using up the calories that you ate. It's basically the sugar content in your body, and it's using up the calories that you've recently eaten. And it takes about 3 or 4 days of fasting. You've used all that up. So now what am I going to eat? Your body's going to eat something. Well, now it starts switching over to your fat reserves, to be honest. And you can be a skinny person and have fat reserves. Now, you can tell for me, I probably have enough fat reserves, I could fast for months. But what happens is your body switches from consuming the external food that you've eaten to consuming the internal fat that you've stored. That process is called ketosis, K-E-T-O-S-I-S. And there's a calmness because your body is eating. It is eating now, but it's eating fat. And the earthquake and the fire and the wind stop, and there is a quietness that comes. I've learned to really like that. I don't like getting there, but I like it once you're there. And it is amazing. See, this is, now I know why Dave said during all those years, the first quarter of every year, he would teach a lot on fasting. And he says, we don't fast in order for our voice to be heard on high. No, we fast so that we hear his voice on low. And I have so found that to be true. When you're in a fasting season, that is a good time to, before you even start to fast, lay out some questions that you want answered. It can be things in the Bible. It can be strategy plans. You know, what do you want to do? Do you want us to stay in this house? You want us to move to another house? You want to change the ministry? You want to change what we're doing? That's a really good time. And listen, see, the next page is going to be humble yourself. One of those ways to humble yourself is to listen. Well, if you want to listen better, do some fasting and fast long enough. For some people, it's 3 days, some people four. With me, it's usually after the fourth day. It's usually hell on earth. Lightning, earthquakes, I kill you for about 4 days. But then it gets quiet. Oh, I like those quiet times. I like those quiet days. And just amazing how clear his voice. And spend a lot of time in the Word. He still speaks through his Word. His Word, you know, the Bible plainly says the Word of God is quick. That means it is alive. We hold it, excuse me, you know, like it's, you know, printed pages, print, you know, black ink on white paper, like it's just any other book. The Word of God is alive, and it's a powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Boy, he can still speak to you out of his Word, but he'll also speak to you directly. Did I ever read all of these? No. All right. I'm going to try and read them all without talking. Don't know if that's possible. Number one, these are all, I want to call them demonic assaults, sin against you, for one purpose, to move you away from your laser focus to diversions either way. Number one, spirit of infirmity. Number two, spirit of division. Number three, spirit of lust and perversion. Number four, another gospel. Number five, spirit of diversions. Number six, lukewarm. And I have to talk about it. Lukewarm. You know what causes that normally? You get tired. Wearing out the saints. Again, this has everything to do with hope deferred makes the heart sick. You just get tired. You get tired of contending. You want to lay your sword down. I just want to coast now. There is no coasting. You're either going up the mountain or down the mountain. I have found from hard experience, there is no coasting. You're either going far on with the Lord or you're going back. Trying to coast is always going back. I don't even want to get into how I know this, but I know it, and I know it well, and really you do too. Jesus is not happy with lukewarm. You know, I'd rather you'd be icy. I'd rather you'd be cold. He said, I'd rather you'd be hot, or I'd rather you'd be cold. But if you're, because he can, it's easier for him to deal with you there. But if you're lukewarm, he said, I'll just spew you out of my mouth, which is a nice King James word for vomit. I will vomit you out. Good. He does not like lukewarm. Does not like trying to coast. He does not like laying your sword down. No. That's the devil. That is the devil working through discouragement to wear out the saints, make you tired, lay your sword down, and really leave the fight. No, that's a spirit sent. Obviously, that will move you away from your laser focus. That will move you away. You can't do that. Number seven, excuses. Again, I'm not going to say it. Everybody knows it anyway, but excuses. Everybody has excuses. Everybody has excuses. And it doesn't matter what it is. See, on that day, you're going to stand before him. And I like it again. All of those excuses are going to melt like a snowball in the August sunshine. I mean, that quick, they're going to be gone. And you're going to be standing right before him. And all of your excuses aren't going to amount to anything. There is no excuse. There really isn't any excuse for what he's called us to do. Okay, I got a good one. And destruction of reasonings. This can take all different forms. Very often it's coupled up with that another gospel, trying to get you, again, in a place of complacency where you lay down your sword. See, if you're, if you're part of that, any movement, I'm just picking Methodists because they've been in the paper, but it's not just them. There's many splits like that happening because of churches accepting the LGBTQ plus whatever as being partially true or true enough that they're starting to accept it. See, that's a destruction of reasonings. That's a high thing exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And if you're going to accept those thoughts, you have to reject God's thoughts because God says no. And it's not just Old Testament. Read Romans chapter 1. God isn't an abomination in the Old Testament. It's an abomination in the New Testament, see? And the destruction of reasonings is, oh, we want to be inclusive, we want to be tolerant, we want to be, you know, kind to all people. We want to just love them. Listen, you can love people right into hell. Yeah, you can. You can love people right into hell. You don't, if you know the truth and you don't ever share the truth with them and they wind up in hell, and you had the truth, I still remember one of the early lessons that my spiritual father, who's younger than me in the natural, Michael Muccio, one of the early lessons, I never forgot it, that he taught us in his Bible study. He said there was this man that died and went to hell. And he's all through hell. There's lava and there's people like up to their eyebrows, you know, or up to their hairline rather, in this lava. And he's walking on these little island things, those little pathways. He'd go to one of them and he'd get them by the hair and he'd lift them up and look at their face and he would go, no, that's not the one. And he'd let them back down. And the demons are watching this guy. And he'd go into the next one and he'd get them by the hair and he'd lift them up and he'd look into their face and he'd go, nope, that's not the one. And he was going all through hell doing this, looking at people, picking them up out of the lava and looking them in the face and no, that's not the one. And finally, the demons couldn't stand it anymore and they said, hey, Who are you looking for? And he said, I'm looking for that preacher that told me I was okay. God. God. God help any preachers that preaches another gospel. No wonder Paul said, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. If he preaches any other, even if it's an angel. Even if it's an angel. If they preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Man. We don't want to be that person that told somebody they was okay. I have lost so many friends, people that used to call me a friend, because I would not compromise what the Word of God says to make them feel better, you know? And anyway, but see, am I being mean to them? I'm trying to tell them the truth in love to rescue them from hell. I don't want them to wind up down there. But if they do wind up down there, they'll probably be like that guy. I wonder, where's that preacher that told me I was okay? Where is that guy? Let me find him. Got to be careful. All right. Well, this next page here, I want to go over this again. And I know we're not going to do this every week. In fact, he's going to have me focus on some of these things. But this year, again, right at the first of the year, I was hearing him again say, what I've heard him say for several years, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. And when you think that you can't humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. I've heard him say that, and I've been trying, you know, over these years, I've been humbling myself best I know how. And anyway, this year, he gave me seven specific things about humbling myself that I've never heard before. Now, I mentioned these last week, but I'm going to mention them again, and we may have time to talk about the first one. But this time, after I heard that sentence again, that then humble yourself some more, then he said, humble yourself by believing the word. Humble yourself through fasting. Humble yourself by praying. Humble yourself by listening. Humble yourself by obeying. Humble yourself through worship. And humble yourself by choosing my thoughts and rejecting yours. Now see, since we're on that subject of the LGBTQ++, it keeps going up all the time. That's a good place to start, because right now society, the world, is saying, well, it's okay. You know, even the Catholic Church now saying, no, you can bless those marriages, you know. You can bless that, those same sex couples, you know, no matter that God calls it an abomination, you know. Starting to give the impression that it's okay. You're rejecting his thoughts. See, thank God for the Methodists who did not go with that and that are sticking with the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, again, is probably the best chapter in the New Testament that tells you God is not okay with same sex, period. Get married or not get married. He's not okay with man lying with man and woman lying with woman as with a man. He's not okay with it. He never was okay with it. He's never going to be okay with it. And to tell somebody that God's okay with it and that he'll bless it is an abomination. You be careful. You wind up in hell yourself if you're doing that. So you've got to reject those kind of thoughts, even though we are being bombarded. This goes all the way back to Smith. See, if you're listening to the world input through the news, I'm telling you, you can hardly watch even a series, any kind of a drama on TV right now, that won't be very long. You know, I'm just sitting there waiting. Okay, when are they going to introduce the gay person? I know one of these characters has got to be gay. Oh, there it is. Okay, you know, you know, episode 4. They hooked you for 4, maybe 3 episodes. Ah, this is good. I like this. And then episode number 4. Now that you're hooked, oh, here comes the gay input, and they're going to start preaching from that point on. And the whole point is to get you to accept the gay agenda. Better not do it. You wind up in hell yourself. You better be careful. God bless all of the ones, not only in the Methodist, but the other denominations, that are holding true to the Word of God. You have to reject your thoughts and accept His thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My word, and so forth. He just keeps going on. My word accomplishes that for which I sent it. Praise God. We've got about 15 minutes here. I want to talk about this item one on this list. Humble yourself by believing the Word of God. We just had the Christmas season, and of course you think about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and all of that at Christmas time, and we should, and I thank God for it. But Mary is such a perfect example of believing the impossible. Here comes, and not just an angel, but an archangel. An archangel comes and gives Mary this message, and you're going to conceive. The Holy Ghost. I mean, at first he didn't tell her how. He just says you're going to have a baby, and her being a virgin, never knowing a man, just in the natural, is that possible? No, it's impossible. But that's why he tells her, with God all things are possible. In the actual Greek, what he said, no word from God is without power. Wow, man. Oh, that's stronger to me. It says the same thing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But how? Well, it's because no word from God is without power. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus is the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God later on. And the Word was manifested. And the Word became flesh and was manifested. And He was the light and so forth. Do you know Jesus is the Word? For example, let's just take healing. You can go all the way back to Exodus where God says, I am Jehovah Rapha. And I may not pronounce it just right. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God spoke that. No word from God is void of power. Anybody who had a covenant with God where God says, for you. See, so that's why it was first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. The Jews, the Jewish nation, was the first to have covenant with God. But we, the Gentiles, we're included now in this better covenant, a new covenant, which is established on better promises. But He is Jehovah Rapha to us now also. But sticking with the beginning, because Jesus was first sent to the Jew. Well, it's because they were the only nation on earth that had that covenant at that moment with God. But see, all the way back in Exodus, he says, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. They had the Word of God. And no word of God is without the power to bring itself to come to pass. All it has to be is believed. See, hardly anybody believed it. Jesus said, there were so many lepers in Israel, only Naaman the Syrian, and so forth. Don't have time to get into all of that today. But if it had to be believed. So Jesus is the literal, he is the flesh demonstration. He is the Word made flesh. And he demonstrates the Word, I am Jehovah Rapha. He demonstrates it by healing everywhere that he goes. He's demonstrating the Word of God. But even in Jesus' ministry, they had to believe it. At Nazareth, he shows up, and his hometown, they didn't believe. And there he couldn't do any mighty work. He could only heal a few sick folks. Of course, today we call that revival. Sick folks got healed. Revival has come. But see, he wanted to do many more things than that. But again, have you ever thought about that? Jesus is really the Word that was made to the Jews. But now it's made flesh, I like to say the Word with legs, that they can see and they can interact now with this living Word. But he's really demonstrating the Word that was theirs from the beginning. Sue gets on to me for saying theirs. Theirs from the beginning. It's the Word made flesh. Oh my goodness. See, and Mary is the... She is the pinnacle. Here comes the archangel, and he's been with God, and he has heard the counsel of God. He's basically said, Mary, you're highly favored. You're chosen. You are the one that's going to give birth to the Messiah. Now, he doesn't use those exact words, but that's what he's saying. And she's going, well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Because he's telling her, you're going to have a baby. And he explains, he says, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and the power of the highest is going to overshadow you, and you're going to conceive, and you're going to get pregnant. And now here's Mary's attitude, because this is something never heard of before, not possible according to human natural physics. You know what she said? I don't care if it is impossible. You know what she said? Be it unto me according to thy word. There it is. What did he say? Humble yourself by believing the word. Now, in that case, it was a specific rhema word to a specific little Jewish girl, a teenager. Okay? I can't take that word to her and say, Gary's going to get pregnant. Number one, I'm a man. And regardless of what they say, a man can't get pregnant. I don't care what they say. A man is a man. So you can go through all of the changes you want, the surgeries and the hormones and all of that. And the end result, every chromosome in your body is either XX or XY. And I mean, even in your eyelash, you cannot change your sex. It's still going to be XX or XY. After you get through with all of your foolishness, you're still a man or you're still a woman. You cannot change that. You are not God. You can't change it. Okay. That's another day. Another day. Hallelujah. But be it unto me according to thy word. That's what he's after. That the word that's to all of us, that we believe it. That when he says, like Romans chapter 6, having then been made free from sin. What? I've been made free from sin? Yeah, you don't have to sin anymore. What? And first, you know, you've got a lifetime of sinning. You know, maybe you didn't get saved when you was real young. Maybe you're, you know, a 60-year-old alcoholic, you know. And you get saved, and the new nature comes in, and it's telling you also you don't have to sin anymore. And then you read it in the Word, Romans chapter 6. And it says, having then been made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You go, what? Made free from sin? When did that happen? That happened the day you got born again. Now, you got to go through a renewing of the mind now, because all of your life history tells you you're a drunk, you're an alcoholic, you're this, you're that. And the Word of God says, no, no, no. Now that you're saved, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not a slave to sin anymore. Yeah, you don't have to sin anymore. And everything in you is going, what? What? You know, all of your whole thinking, see, and this is where the renewing of the mind comes in, Romans 12, 2. But see, if you allow your mind to be renewed to the truth, eventually you're going to present your body to God, and it won't be an alcoholic body anymore. You'll be free. Same with pornography. Same with drugs of any kind. Same with anything. But you've got to, how did he put it? He says, you got to reject your thoughts and accept his thoughts. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and his thoughts have the power. See, his thoughts come with his word, and with his word comes the power for transformation. Glory to God. But it begins with the mouth. She didn't just think it, she said it. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Boy, that should be our common confession. Be it unto me. You say you're Jehovah Rapha, I believe you. Be it unto me according to your word. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. You bless my bread and my water. You take sickness away from the midst of me. You yourself bore my sicknesses and carried my sorrows and pains. On and on and on you could go with healing verses, prosperity verses, righteousness virtues, verses, to walk free from sin. The word of God is quick and sharp and powerful than any, more powerful than a two-edged sword. And I'm telling you, no word from God is void of power. The word of God itself has the power, just like a seed. Jesus said the whole kingdom works this way. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. He's talking about the word of God. And that word is a seed. It's alive. It's got life on the inside of it. It's got the image of your healing. It's got the image of your deliverance. It's got the image of salvation. It's got the image of your prosperity. It's got the word is a seed. You've got to plant it. You plant it by saying it and saying it and saying it. See, how important is saying it, okay? Angel appears to the father of John the Baptist, you know, Elizabeth. Wasn't that Mary's cousin? So an angel appears to Elizabeth's husband. I can't think of his name right this minute. He didn't allow me to look up any verses before this service. I'm just supposed to follow him. But how important are words? Well, he's telling Elizabeth's husband, okay, your wife's pregnant, and they were old age too. You know, it's unlikely that she would become pregnant. And you know, the angel's telling him what the name of the baby's going to be, John, and so forth. Well, now his attitude was, you know, it sounds similar to what Mary said, but you can tell his attitude was, I don't know about this. I don't know how that could happen. You know, he's really doubting. In fact, the angel says, because you doubted by words. How important is it? He shut his mouth up. He said, you're going to be mute. Is that the right word? Yeah, mute. Unable to speak. And he wasn't able to say a word until that baby was born. Why? His words could change the outcome. And your words can change the outcome. I hope you get this. I hope I get it. Where I don't ever say anything that's contrary to the word of God. You know, recently he had me teach the Malachi series. I say recently, within the last year. Boy, right near the end of that, God, through the prophet Malachi, God was getting on to them. He said, your words have been stout against me. Man, I shudder to think of all the times I have said things, just yield over to the flesh and call those things that are the way they are. And it's bad and it's getting worse. And I don't know if it's ever going to get better. And on and on and on, you know, get it, just talking the flesh. Every one of those times, my words were stout against him. Whatever angels are assigned to me, they just have to fold their wings and because they don't have anything to do until I start speaking the word of God. You know, the psalmist said, the angels hearken to the voice of his word. Doesn't say they hearken to his word. They hearken to the voice of his word. Listen, I can take my Bible and hold it up to my ear all day long. Listen. No voice. Nope. Just sitting on my coffee table. It's potential energy. There's life and there's seeds. It's really a seed book. See, but until I start speaking it, giving voice to it, only then do the angels, oh, he's giving voice to the word of God, and we hearken to the voice of God's word. How important? That angel had to shut that daddy up, had to shut him up. His mouth, why? His mouth could cause the interruption of the birth of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had to be born. According to prophecy, he had to come before Messiah. The timing is critical. And it's one of the few times in the Word of God where you're going to see the God overriding a man's actions. Got this angel goes, nope, you're doubting what I'm saying. If you keep speaking that way, you could actually interfere with the plan of God. You're going to be mute until after that baby's born. And all he could do was gesture, you know. he couldn't speak that unbelief into the world. And sure enough, John the Baptist was born. Only then, what's his name? And finally he's able to talk. John. His name's John. Okay, well, our hour is up, man. I feel like I just barely got started. I hope you're becoming laser focused. I'll hold a laser up again. Listen, read that prophecy again. You can get it from bronkflint.org. Click on the homepage. There's a prophecies. Click on the prophecies, and it's the very last one for the year 2023. My Blind Servant. I really recommend you print that out and go over it. Do become laser focused. Do not, especially discouragement. When is it going to happen? No, we don't even allow that kind of thinking. We're pressing on until it happens, and it's going to happen, and I think sooner than later. All right, love you so much. See you again next time. Bye-bye.